Hi guys. Welcome. We are here yet again to another episode of Horrible Decisions. We are, as always, joined in here with another guest, and I'm super excited to introduce her to you guys. As you guys know, this is your girl, Mandy B.
I'm Wheezy, and I just want to tell you, I am such a fan of yours. I went through a crazy depression earlier this year, like medicine, therapy, everything. And a lot of your videos really helped me through some dark times. And I mean, you're hot too, so that always helps. And Latina, and we haven't really had a Latina, have we?
Yes, we have. We've had quite a few Latinas. We had Alyssa from BK Chat. We just had a Cuban American with the pansexual. We've had Carla, Josh. Even though those were patrons, both of those were Latinas.
We had it a long time.
You gotta keep out of track of all your bitches.
Last week, our pansexual episode, which just dropped a couple weeks ago or last week, depending on when we dropped this, Cuban American, and she came.
Honestly,
bro,
I thought they were black.
She said, "Honey, my mother from Cuba, and we're, like she put the accent."
They
on
just
everything.
Don't sound like you. Which I saw some dude called you Rosie Perez. I feel like you they more Latina,
no,
Latina.
She doesn't even sound Latina. She just sound like a New Yorkerian, bro. So you know, this is what happens. You know what? Y'all haven't even heard her. Go ahead. Can you introduce yourself to our guests? Because y'all are gonna hear the New York accent. It ain't a Latina accent, bitch.
My name is Emilia Ortiz, or y'all may know me as Ethereal or Ethereal One on Instagram.
Instagram.
Or that annoying ass Brooklyn girl, as my haters like to say.
Yeah, you Brooklyn as fuck.
Yeah. You know, there's no denying that. But I'm basically your, I guess, bruja, spiritual advisor, and I guess fake, you know, hood fairy godmother telling you to get your life together.
I'll say fake because I ain't assigned to everybody, you know.
So I think okay. That's a little, I don't want that job anyways. That's a
little
like too much.
I like that.
I like half the responsibility, I'll
There's
admit.
A lot of weight on your name. I see you post a lot, like telling people, like, bro, my energy is drained. Like, I can't fucking take
That's
y'all.
What I'm saying.
You're pressing like, the fuck out of me in my DMs.
It'd be too much. Like, people, like, I definitely understand, like, it could be a lot, you know, to let out, you know, and reach out to somebody finally, especially somebody you don't know. But sometimes people just be literally dumping all their trauma in my shit, and I'm like, yo, as an empath, y'all about to trigger me old fucking D, and I'm about to feel like I'm right there in the memory you talking about right now, because I haven't had any time to prep for your, you know, really loaded DM.
I am a self-proclaimed emo hoe, and I'm
like, but it's different. I'm talking about people will literally give me their life story, and I'm talking about like a whole autobiography.
We get those now too, though. We get those now with the relationships, with people experiencing issues with their partners, with people who maybe have experienced sexual trauma and are coming to us saying how we help them or how to move on from it. Yeah. And it's a lot, too. Sometimes even just the DMs and the email and all the access these people have to us, a lot of their energy is transferred to us, and it's fucking exhausting.
No,
it gets
it is.
Fucking exhausting, for sure.
It really is. But that's why I be telling people, like, nah, I'm more like your fake hood fairy godmother. Y'all not all my, you know, people that I'm assigned to completely, you know, hold your hand and
Have
make your dreams come true.
Have you had someone that, like, wanted to work with you, and, like, right when you were talking to them, you were like, I can't fuck with this?
There's been a lot of people, I gotta be honest, that I have, like, even off the email, like, energy-wise, it was just like, I can't work with you. Like, there's been a couple people, and I often refer them to other people, you know what I'm saying, that I do feel would be a better fit, but there has been a few times where I've had some people be really angry with me that I wasn't going to, and they were like, you're a healer, you're supposed to, and I said, I'm not obligated to heal anybody.
Yeah.
That's, you know, my purpose may be to assist people, that may be part of my calling, but I have no obligation to anybody other than myself.
People feel like because they're paying you, you owe them the world. Actually, my therapist just broke up with me because she accidentally heard our show.
Well, damn.
She was like, hey, I stumbled upon this, and now I've got a bias because of one episode I heard, and I can't give you fair advice because now it almost makes it a friendship thing, which I got to say, my friends don't pipe me up too much. They keep me very level-headed. You know, they'll be like, you're wrong or you're not. But I was shocked. At first, I was low-key mad, but she's like, I started listening. I didn't realize it was you until that voice came in. And she's like, and I didn't stop. And now I'm going to lean with you or lean with others. Like, it's not going to work.
Yeah, now she can't be objective enough anymore. I definitely feel that. That's why, you know, there's times where I've told certain friends of mine, like, they've been like, yo, I need a session. Certain friends have been like, yo, listen, I can't. I'm going to, like, hook you up with who I trust enough to take care of you at this time. But I can't. And then there's other friends where I do, you know, I do take it on, but there's certain times where I can't be, you know, unbiased or objective enough. And I let them know that, like, listen, I love you too much to be able to be objective the way that I would need to be, you know, where what messages I may be getting and all that stuff
pay
might be
you for. Like, exactly. Cause you, like,
it all varies, you know, depending on, and that's also why, like, you know, when people do ask me about, like, what goes down in a typical session, I do often have a hard time, you know, describing that because everybody's session is so different, like, tailored to your individual needs. Like, it may be we just do a whole advisory session. It may be that instead we're doing just healing work the whole time, you know. Okay. But it all varies on what the person needs. Because some people really do just need to get some guidance and a little assistance with how to get their stuff together. And other people do need you to do more, you know, more work.
Do you do couples or only?
I'm open to couples. I have only done a few couple sessions, and that's just because couple sessions tend to be a little bit difficult for people when it comes to spiritual work and stuff like that and energetic work because...
Is it because it's like the two radios going at the same time?
And also, they don't want to be biased. Like, and I mean, biased as in, like, they'll keep saying to you that they're not being biased, but it's like, you are biased because you're in this relationship. Of course, you're going to side with yourself more. Like, that's
right,
just,
right.
That's human nature. That's okay. Right. But they get frustrated when I'm being objective and I'm not siding with them. And I'm like, listen, y'all are both contributing to the situation. I'm not going to sit here and say who's worse or whatever.
You ever done a podcast couple?
The only reason I haven't done podcast couples is because... That can get so messy.
But
in ways
I am not a fucking mediator.
It can get way too messy.
Way messy.
It can get way too messy.
So before
friends
we get into
have to work
energy,
their shit out, I feel like.
And working all of this out, let's go ahead and stick to the script here. So what we like to do with our guests is we like to have kind of like icebreaker type of things that go on. And this is kind of just to break the ice because we do talk a lot about sex. So we want to make sure you're comfortable and a little open to what we may be
asking
later on.
By the way, I
want to
apologize. I didn't know your man was going to be in the room when I picked these questions.
It's okay.
So I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So the first one, I guess we want to
He gave me the Akhalifs.
And this one, I don't even really want to ask you because it's in your bio. The first question is, have you been with a woman? And you say that you're bisexual on your bio. So we're going to jump to the second one. Yes. Have you ever had group sex?
I have with other women only.
Nice. Well, we don't, I mean, well, our listeners don't really like, we haven't read your bio, but like, with the women, like, is this something that is 50-50 in your life? Do you introduce it into your relationship currently?
So I don't do that because for the, I guess, like, first half of my developed life in high school and shit, I was only involved with women up until, like, my senior year in high school. And then I got involved with guys because a lot of my friends were pressuring me, and I was on some, like, you know what, I just want y'all to shut the fuck up, you know?
Yeah.
Which, I gotta be honest, a lot of those people are now involved with women and shit like that. I'm like, y'all bitches! How dare y'all? Y'all was giving me shit all through high
school.
Being gay. Calling me Emilio. Like, come on. It's not fair. But
you don't introduce women
into your... I don't
introduce
it now because I'm somebody who shit's very separate, where it's either one or the other for me. Who I'm with is who I'm with.
Like that.
You know, especially because I am somebody who I'm mad territorial in a way that, like, and I admit this about myself. Like, I know damn well I don't want to share somebody who I'm committed to. Mm-hmm. We having fun and we not committed like that, that's totally different. But if I'm in a committed relationship with you, I know myself well enough to know I'm not okay with that. And also, I have this weird complex about I don't want you. Like, I want you to want me so much that you don't want me to be with nobody else.
See,
shit.
That's the crazy
like,
part
I don't want you.
You.
It
I'm
is,
sorry.
And I admit it. I know this. Like, my last name is Ortiz. We crazy. I admit it. Like, but it's just this thing. Like, I don't know. And I guess it's also, like, having the parents that I did. Like, my father was very, like, my mother was it, and that was it.
Yeah.
And as much as he would acknowledge other women being attractive or whatever, like, he was like, I'm not blind, but he was like, do I want to go home with any of them? No. Like, you know, I think that's also why I'm able to be so, no, I don't need to introduce that, because there's no issue with us talking about, like, what I used to do and all that other shit.
So your group sex that you had with women, was that more casual, or did you have a girlfriend?
Nah, it was casual, because I just, like I said, I'm really one of those people where I can have fun with you if that's what it is, but if it's commitment, then, like, our fun gotta be a little more, you know, I guess.
What's the most amount of women you've had in the group sex?
There were three other girls involved.
Wait, just tell me.
So that's
was it a train, like a square of pussy?
No. It was like a big
just all over the place. Everybody doing just, everything.
Yeah.
That's been fun.
Have you ever
I'm with you on that.
I've never been in group sex with women.
That train shit is weird.
But what is?
That train shit is weird. Like that whole little like
it's, yeah, it doesn't, it's that, just those, every, that circle shit they put.
That's
in
also something that doesn't happen.
It's awkward
for one women.
Yeah,
to do.
But I gotta be honest with you, it's not it's effective like and it's awkward it's and it so, doesn't really like it's not attractive. Again, you don't look over
when like, I watch it. When I watch it in porn, I'm like, it has never happened.
It looks like a lot of work though.
Where we've
yes,
found a
and it looks awkward.
But
so
it looks awkward.
It just looks like it takes a lot of effort. Like I've done a three. Like I've done it in threesomes. Still,
it's still awkward. Like it's just too much.
All right. My next one is, have you ever done a spell for someone or for yourself pertaining to sex?
I have not done that in the way that most people would think. The ones that I have done are more so related to cutting cords and cutting ties for somebody.
Oh, bitch, we don't get there.
Sexually related. But that's, I'm not one to do those spells because I'll be honest with you, more often than not, you got to keep fucking doing them and ain't nobody got time for that shit. Like,
you do got it. That's what I hear. Well, and the reason she asked that question, because I don't think it was really introduced when you introduced mm-hmm. yourself. So if we can real quick get into that before we get into our kink yes. of the week. You identify as a brujeria. Mm-hmm. Now, I do want to ask before we get into what type of bruja, is it a Santeria? Because, I've been doing all my Googling to figure out what the fuck we, like, how this is going to be introduced into sex.
I call myself an eclectic, bruja at this point, or an eclectic witch, because there's so many different influences that I have as far as how I practice my, witchcraft or my craft, whatever, at this point, that I can't say it's one particular one.
How does it differ from voodoo?
So to be honest with you,
is it the same?
It's not that things, all right, in essence, these things are all the same as far as they are used to empower you and they are used to help you not just with, finding financial, abundance and prosperity and love and all that. That's great. But it's also, these were all created to also help you with dealing with your oppressors type of shit. So that's also why these like things like voodoo and stuff like that have gotten the name that they've gotten. A lot of them are blends of different things coming together. So like Santeria is a mix of things. And that's because a lot of us had to, indigenous wise, way back when everybody was getting colonized, mm-hmm. had to hide their actual religions mm-hmm. by giving them patron saint names and other things like that. And since there was already the mixing of indigenous and African slaves and stuff like that, they also mixed their knowledge and things like that kind of thing. So that's why there's so many different forms. They've all got different, I guess, names and words for things. But in essence, they are all the same, if you get what I mean, like as far as what they're used for.
Is there one that's mainly like for good more than the other or something like that? There isn't.
It's all can be both. And that's one thing that I guess is a bit frustrating for me, that so many people think that it is one or the other, mm-hmm. that one has to be good and one has to be bad. And this is, because from especially like what I grew up understanding was that this was more so just a way of living. It wasn't so much something to, it wasn't this whole thing that, Hollywood made it. But it was, it's also just like, it's complicated because I feel like everybody wants to acknowledge this when it comes to witchcraft and things like that, but they don't want to acknowledge it in Christianity and other things like that. Any religion, any form of spirituality, anything, in all honesty, can be used for something negative or positive. It's just all about who's using it. Mm. And, I think it's also funny for me because I hear Christians and Catholics, say certain things and, they're like, I don't practice witchcraft. And I'm like, but I heard you say something that actually is an incantation and that's the same thing as a spell. And, for them, they're like, no, it's not. And I'm like, you saying that you're placing a protective hedge over something is the same as somebody using the white light or using light. Just all that shit. It's the same shit. You casting a spell.
You brought me all like, Jesus freaks mad.
I mean, it's all man-made.
Of course.
Pretty much at the end of the day, but, which is what I said.
Yeah.
Like, I put it into religion and we have openly said that we don't really identify with a specific religion, and spirituality I think is the same. Like basically religion and spirituality are all things that provide us answers to things that cannot be answered with science.
Exactly.
Is what I say. And it's funny because us talking about the good and bad before we got on air, I pretty much was like, well, in order for me to get through this episode, I had to look at you as a good witch. Yes, so I'm just thinking I'm interviewing one of the sisters from Charmed. So you're not Piper Proofy. Yeah, they were good. They fought the demons that were...
They had moments where they got taken over by the demons.
They got taken over by demons in some... But they were the good witches.
They were good.
Yeah, so it was a good show, though. You're a good witch. Okay, we can do this.
Last one. I am someone that was like always fucking saging all the time. Sometimes I even want to sage the studio, like, well, before we come in, just to like, because we don't know who was in here before. Yeah. And we're like, I want us to have a great show. Have you ever had to sage your house after like a fuckboy came over and like felt like you had to like clean your whole
I always do that anyway.
Oh, I just clean my sheets.
Thing. Because, and I also, like, I also cleanse myself, though. Because the thing is, it's important to reclaim your space, not just your bed. Because the thing is, we think that, like, I noticed something, especially for me, after I had gotten out of an abusive relationship at a point, that everywhere I looked in my crib, I still saw, you know, certain memories with them, things like that. So for reclaiming my power and reclaiming my space, you know, changing my sheets and doing that wasn't just enough for me. I had to really clean out my whole space. I didn't just, you know, I'm big on sage or Palo Santo, but I'm also really big on, you know, using like Flora water in your floor wash.
I can't find it.
And
all my Dominican friends is like,
yo, it's even in fucking, it's even like bodegas. I'm surprised you can't find it.
Girl,
that shit is
dead ass
everywhere.
With white
like,
people.
No,
Lori.
No, but Louis Vuitton got mad shit still. Yeah, like, I'm surprised you can't find...
It's
oh,
like
they not leaving Baruch. They not leaving Baruch.
But see, I be living...
What is Baruch?
You not by Baruch housing, that's why.
And I live...
You not by the P's.
I can't say it, but I'm not by the P's.
You gotta
I'm not at ABC. Okay. Okay. I'm more by Soho a little bit.
Yeah, you gotta
so
be
So I just gotta walk towards Avenue C.
Yeah, and to be honest, you can go into like a Botanica. If you find one near you, they always have, and they have other ones too. Because Agua Florida is really good for cleansing.
What is that? Can you explain? Because y'all are talking
another
language to me right now.
It's basically
a
spiritual cologne, the same way holy water is a spiritual cologne.
Okay.
It's the same thing essentially, but it's for a different thing. You know what I mean? They all have a different purpose.
Do you put it in a bath or do you put it on your skin?
You can do either. I put it in my bath. Water. I also put it in my floor wash when I'm gonna, you know, mop the house and stuff like that.
Wow,
because
okay.
It's something that like my abuelita really taught us to do, like especially if you moved into a new place or if you needed to start over, you needed a fresh start. Like it all depended. It wasn't always the same thing, but you know, you gotta clean that shit out because otherwise that shit is just gonna linger
with the
around,
changing like. The sheets. Are you saying that we should like completely change bedding or just washing it in enough? Like how do you
can wash your sheets, but it is important I think also to keep in mind that like you should also sage your bed because it's
before
like
before and after sex.
I'm somebody who I do it after, like, somebody's out my life. Like, it's not something I'm going to necessarily do while we still involved unless there's a point where we had an argument or some shit and I still feel that, like, heavy and I'm just like, oh, I can't deal with this. I don't want you in my bed because I'm still annoyed by you.
Got it.
You know, then I'll try to clean it out, too.
So I wanted to do this kink of the week because I feel like we talk about BDSM a lot and I'm a sub. But particularly, I'm curious to know how this can affect someone's spirit. This one is called dacrophilia. So the word cry is in it, but it's a paraphilia where people are aroused by tears or sobbing. The arousal is achieved when someone's in emotional distress or a person at the top in BDSM like enjoys the crying. Now, we've seen some of it like with the brutal like throat fucking shit where the tears come out. But a lot of subs enjoy this, right? Some things can elicit a tearful response. It's saying that a dom may, instead of physically torture, do some kind of sadism where they're making them emotionally vulnerable. Have you ever had to help somebody that like got so fucked up from sex shit?
Yeah, I've actually had a couple clients related to that. I even had, I'm not going to divulge all the info because I'm big on client confidentiality, but I've had a couple who have had issues with sex because of a lot of that. Even with they found that they couldn't get aroused anymore if it wasn't something that was extreme.
Damn.
Which, you know, that can be frustrating for anybody, even if that is your kink. That can mm-hmm. be frustrating that, you know, you then start to feel limited. You're like, okay, now, like, my kink owns my sex life.
It's
not, like, an addition to my sex life. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, now this is what runs my sex life. Like, I don't even...
What kind of kinks were they into?
Well, it was just a lot of different stuff that it was a bit more on the extreme side of, like, it could trigger you, like, trauma-wise and things like that. But what I had to help them to do was to cut cords with this and to also work on healing that trauma that they ended up inducing in themselves. Because not everybody, you know, I'm big on... what works for you works for you. You know, if you're somebody who finds that you are having an improved quality of life because you're doing certain things, then, you know, okay, fine, as long as, you know, you and the other person are not, or whoever is involved, are not being harmed,
right,
and, you know, unwillingly, then cool. But I do think that it's something for people to be mindful of with, you know, sub and dom type of, you know, kink, because you don't want to mess your partner up. Like, that's not the goal of that. Like,
right.
As much as it is to, yeah, as much as it's about enjoying, it's not. And I know there's a lot of, like, shit that people are like, how the fuck could that be about, you know, care if you saying all this fucked up shit to somebody or you doing all this fucked up shit? And it's like, it's one of those things where people have different love languages, and I'm understanding mm-hmm. and aware of that.
That's a good point.
But I do think that we do need to be mindful of what that can do. You know what I mean? Like, you know, because it could be traumatizing, even just on a psychological level, not even on a whole energetic shit, but just even, you know, I will not. There's been times where I've had certain situations where, because I did not necessarily consent to it being so extreme, that was a lot for me. But that was something that they were used to, and they were like, oh, I ain't even know that that wasn't on the menu type. Well, and I'm like, and it's like, this is something we need to
you exactly. have to talk about it. Like, communication, but even I also think that.
And I think that's where it's complicated.
All the time.
It's the communication
aspect.
But also,
when it comes to ask when it, something so raw.
When it comes to these kinks, though, I think it's important, like you said, like how the kink took over their sex life. I think that when you introduce these things that do arouse you, it needs to be not only discussed with your partner, but it's something that doesn't need to happen every single
exactly.
time. And so when you sit here and say, well, I like to see you cry, and even when Weezy brought up, like, even the gagging, where mm-hmm. where some women might not like
it's
to be...
It's still, like, a stressful situation. Like, yeah. Well, it could be in this, you know, in this kink.
Nah, definitely.
You
know, I think
not to cut you off, but
weird.
You really made me think of something. So one of my love languages is affirmation. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if it's directly related to me enjoying, like, compliments and sex, like, and mm-hmm. being a good girl. It probably does.
Honestly, it most likely is, because, like, that's what it is. I know for me, that's a big thing, like, where affirmations is part of my love language, too. And when somebody affirms, like, during sex, like, you know, whatever, that I'm doing a good job or whatever, my pussy bomb, whatever the fuck it is, like, that's one of those things that I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I'm the star of the week. Okay, thanks. Like,
y'all
yay.
Are talking about this love language. Where could someone go? Because this is, again, another thing I'm sitting here like, what the
holy
fuck are y'all
shit.
Talking
Have
about?
Have we never
there's
talked
so
about
many,
love languages?
We there's so
kind
many
of touched on it with Cuddy.
We
spoke on it with Cuddy, if you guys go back and listen to that episode. But it wasn't, we've never spoke about it in depth. So if someone wanted to know what their love language was, or what love language is, where do they go?
So the five love languages is a book. And I've listened to the audio
exactly.
years ago. This is like, I don't know how old this is, but it's 95.
I was going to say it's a pretty old book. Not
so
old, but
you
like,
can go on and take a quiz. It's free. You can do this for your kid. You could do this for anybody. I think I've done this for someone I've worked with, actually.
I used to do it with kids I nannied because it was
you did?
And made it easier for them to understand why they didn't respond to certain things as well as they thought they did.
They are so important for understanding your partner. Actually, one of my love languages is gifts. Mm. Like, I like to give mm-hmm. gifts. And when a partner I was with found that out, he's like, oh, I really used to think you would just throw money at things to try to appease me. So here's what they are. The five ones are words of affirmation, physical touch, receiving gifts, quality time, and acts of service.
Mm-hmm.
So acts of service being like doing someone's chores or like, let me do this for you, babe.
Quality of time. I already know that's mine. I already know.
What do you think, like, your other one is?
probably gifts because I ain't shit. But no. But I know quality of time to me, yeah. like even when it comes to guys that may not have the money that I'm used to dealing mm-hmm. with guys having, like I know to me time is yeah, way more valuable way than more money. Valuable. So it's like literally if I just want to be with you, like I literally just want you to be around me. We ain't got to do shit. We can mm-hmm. lay in a bed. We can lay on a couch. I could cook you pancakes, whatever. I just want you around me. Mm-hmm. So I already, if that's the list, I'm going to take the test, actually, because I've never
you
had it.
Now, you should take
but
the test.
But I feel like that is.
It's
you
really
might,
good.
I feel like you also might be surprised about what else is your love language.
Yeah, because with the receiving gifts, do you like the underlying thing with that is being thought about exactly. when you're not around.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean?
Like
that.
But yep. that's what I'm saying. Like, it's really, I think, important for people to understand, like, if that's what ties into their stuff, you know, right. when it comes to their kink, especially because you might end up oversaturating your like you know your sex life in I guess like with that and trying to substitute and fill like certain gaps with your love life, you know what I mean, like
absolutely
with, if you're not getting this one, you know, but it's not good only because like I feel like a lot of people don't understand that like when y'all are communicating during like as much as there has to be clear communication, clear consent, you know, with sub-dom type relationships, I feel like at the same time, lines do get blurred a bit for people because all it's like a lot of, but that was sex talk and all that time. Was this talk. You know what I mean? And
I think that's what, like, yes. I had a very intense session with a dom and I remember like he spent a lot of time with me being very soft, bringing me food, water, this, like just way over the top. Mm-hmm. And it worked because I was like, I was literally
I'm sure you were
being
like
choked out with your belt.
I know.
So the horrible decision for this week is called Heartbroken Hoes. And I feel like so many women write us, and at least I'm not a really good judgment because I am so emotional to like tell you how to heal from it. Like, mm-hmm. you know, even to say like sometimes we don't go through a lot of heartbreak. I rebound a lot, mm-hmm. which feels better for me. So I want to get into questions people have asked for you mm-hmm. and just like advice that you have for anybody that is going through a breakup right now or probably will in the future. Because
now real quick, because I want to ask you, we're not going to talk about cracking an egg in water and putting it under the bed and all this. Like I told, okay, because I'm telling you, I looked up all this stuff and I was like, let's not talk about crystal blending. And
When I talk about when I try to give people or when I do give somebody an individualized ritual or thing to do,
right.
it's always an individualized thing that
so there's not something consistent for everybody.
I have a few things that are staples that I will recommend to anybody regardless of the situation kind of thing. Like, oh, you need a basic cord cutting. This, you know what I mean? This is, okay. you know, that kind of stuff. But the thing is, everything really is very individual. And the thing is, like, I've encountered so many different things that people don't realize about their breakups that, like, as a healer, I'm like, all right, yeah, I can't give you the same advice that I just gave somebody else who y'all have the same reason for breaking up on the surface, but below that, that shit ain't the same whatsoever.
A lot of your stuff that you say, though, is very generic and helpful. Like when I was telling you with me, like, you were saying, like, people in your garden and toxic things, and, like, it seems like
it's enough about I'm going to lead you to have your own conclusion. You know okay. what I'm saying? Where you are led to have the conclusion that you need for yourself rather than everybody. Because I don't like that whole, you know, one size fits all kind of advice. That's not realistic. But agreed. I think that it is more realistic to lead everybody to, I guess, you know, the whole fucking water or whatever the fuck,
right.
you know, of information and knowledge where they can then find it out for themselves. Like, sometimes we just need people to plant certain seeds in our head, like, in our way of thinking for them to, you know, come to this conclusion of, okay, that's
like, we know the whole time.
Of,
and low-key,
yeah,
we know questions.
Exactly.
Like, do you think I should fuck him? Bitch, I'm probably going to fuck him. But
exactly.
I just want you to tell me no.
Yes.
So I'm like, yeah.
Exactly.
So I want to know.
But with breakup, I'm big on, you got to cut cords
yeah.
in some fashion, you know, whether you do a cord cutting bath or meditation or you do candle work, whichever. Everybody likes to do it a different way. I'm big on the bath and the meditation because I feel that so many people don't take care of the mental aspect as well, where then they may have, you know, they're like, oh, I don't feel like I miss them anymore. But then every time they get drunk, they miss that person. And it's like, did you ever take care of that mental part? Like, there's still rent space in your brain, which is why when you fucked up and not really in a space to make a clear decision,
right,
your brain is like, oh, this is a great idea. Let's call him like 20 times. Oh, my God. I used to, listen, I did it when, with one of my ex-girlfriends, and I called that bitch like a billion times, crying, all the shit. And I was just like, what the fuck? Why would you? Yo, and I remember, like, my father even had asked me, this was before he passed, he was like, but did you cut cords with her? And I looked at him like, you don't even be wanting to do this shit. Who are you to be telling me to cut cords together?
Like a closure thing?
You can do it by yourself, and that's why I'm big on it, because you don't need the other person. Okay. And I think that one of the hardest things that any of us deals with in a breakup is closure, and understanding that sometimes you have to create your own closure. That people are not always going to give you that. They're not obligated to give you the answer you want. They're not obligated to tell you the right thing.
That's really good advice.
You know, and I think that so many of us will, you know, and I think it also came to me because there were so many friends of mine who, you know, they'd say to me, I just need to meet up with them this one time because I just need that last. And I'm like, but what? But what? That last word of women, you know? We want to be told. We want the affirmation of you.
I also feel like there's this underlying hope that I feel like
they're going to say, I love you.
I changed my mind.
I want you back.
Yep.
And it's like, but the truth is, it's not. You know what I mean? Like, you just keep holding on to that one last, because I won't lie, we all have that friend who has done that repeatedly. You know what I mean? With the same person. And we all just, I think we all have that friend, it's all us. We definitely have been that friend, but I think we've all got that one friend who it's been years of saying that with this one person over and over. And it's like, they would leave, you know, and I mean, even where they say that and they've moved on, they dating other people, all that other shit, but they still will say all this about, but I know that motherfucker. If I see him, I'm gonna. And it's like, but why? Right. If it's this many years past and you've this moved on, why are you still, like, you know what
I
mean?
Can I ask you something preliminary? Like, many women catch feelings during casual sex and end up heartbroken. What is your take on separating sex and emotions? You just said, like, you're a very emotionally conscious person, and you just said, I could have sex for what it is. How do you do that? And I think that, even for myself, how can you do that? How can you be such an emotional person but also just get the dick?
You have to think about it as this thing where, all right, I know for me that it's about, I'm so honest with myself, you know, and part of that is I'm a Sag, so I ain't got no issue doing that.
Right.
But the thing is, being so honest with myself, I've always been able to recognize when I wasn't going to be able to keep it casual, and so I didn't engage in it at all, even if I wanted to.
That's great.
I was like, bitch, you know damn well that you're gonna be crying over this shit, because you know what, it happened to me a little bit in high school and I didn't like how I felt, and I'm one of those people where, like, if I don't like how I feel after something, I'm not gonna keep repeating those same behaviors hoping that it's gonna change, because it's not gonna change. And so I stopped, where I was just like, I can't do that. If I know that I want more, but it's obvious that that's not what it is, then I just can't pursue that. And, you know, having dealt with that with women especially really prepared me for dealing with men. Like, I'm sorry, but any man who thinks that he got better game than a woman is... he's sadly mistaken, because those bitches can fuck your sister somehow and y'all will all be passing each other in the crib and it's nothing.
Right.
And I ain't even got no sisters to be fucked, but I'm telling you, I've seen it happen where we were like, all of us in the group were like, but they was living in the same house. How did you, in an apartment in the P's, how did you manage to do that? Like,
you have said in the P's for the third time during this episode.
This is some shit going up in New York, where a lot of stuff happens.
What you just said was like 100% real, because, like, so there's a guy that I had been dealing with, and he lives in DC, but he recently, like, reconnected, and we got, you know, he's not really back in my life, but he's reconnected with me, and I literally told him that, like, we had a point where it was just casual sex, but feelings kind of came about there, and I knew that I could see him as more, and I literally had that same exact conversation with him. I said, listen, because I know there would be feelings involved with this, I wouldn't be able to revert back to us just being casual sex. And so that's the same way even I have Lawyer Bay, that yep. me and him are now friends. And he's someone that I had so much strong emotions mm-hmm. with. I know that the casual sex relationship yeah. that I have with 24/7 or Felon Bay is something that I can't have with someone who I know I could possibly have feelings for exactly. or that I know that I want more than just sexually. And I think that as women, when you are honest with yourself, when you know exactly what you want, when you know what makes you happy, when you know kind of what you want from another person, you're able to kind of draw those lines more. And we have those yeah. questions all the time. People ask me all the time, mm-hmm. girl, how do you have sex and not catch feelings? Yeah. And I think it really is just when you know the energy that, and we'll bring it back to energy, but when you know the energy that you're going to bring somebody and what they're going to bring you, you have to be aware of what it is you want from that person.
Exactly.
And if that person can't give you what you want, you have to be strong enough to walk away.
Exactly.
You have to be strong enough to walk away. Otherwise, you will be the one that's heartbroken or in a situationship 6 months, 2 years down the line.
Well, you know what? Good dick is a prison. And
oh, no, we all know this. Good dick will imprison you. This is fact.
Yes.
You know.
But I have driven niggas places, paid for things.
Oh, no, just I know bitches who have sent like thousands of dollars. And I'm like, he not even in the same state to give you the dick right now. Why are you sending it? Oh, so he could fly out. But then he doesn't even fly out.
Oh, let's not talk
about that. You know, I'm not going to talk about that.
I damn care.
How about like when you're trying to get over, so they say the best way to get over old dick is new dick. How do you feel?
Oh, hell no.
How do you feel about rebounding? Because a lot of people in breakups say, oh, girl, easy. You just need someone to distract you, mm-hmm. things like that. How do you feel about rebounding?
I am not big on rebounding, especially mm-hmm. immediately. I don't even mm-hmm. really like rebounding at all, to be honest. I do think that it's important for you to allow yourself space to process what the fuck you just went through. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I get it. Everybody's like, you know, it's easier and it's better to distract yourself and just get over it and move on. But the reality is that's not gonna do anything for you, because at the end of the day, just getting over something doesn't mean you got through it. And a lot of the time you end up with a lot of scars from right. just getting over that mountain that you keep looking at all the time and thinking about, wow, that mountain was really shitty to me. But, you know, it gave me this really cool scar and I'm going to keep thinking about this all day. And it's like, that's what you keep thinking about with this person is like, mm-hmm. you know, this person was shitty to me. But, hey, they gave me this really cool scar and, you know, I got over them. But maybe we could work it out. Whereas if you get through it, you are less likely to do that and you're also more likely to actually enjoy who you do end up meeting after. Like, right. because
you think it's bringing the baggage? You don't need to,
yeah, you don't need to bring that baggage into anything new, because the truth is, like, nobody needs to pay for what somebody else did. You mm-hmm. feel me? That's not fair to them. And, you know, if you just rebound with people, that's the honestly the most surefire way for you to end up saying to somebody all the fucking time shit about, like, oh, you just like my ex, or you just like this motherfucker, you yep. just, and it's because you still not over them,
or you be, you know, picking the same fuck
exactly
boys.
The same person, because you just wanted somebody else to replace that same feeling,
right.
that same pattern, that same situation that you were used to right before this one, and that one's not any better for you because it's the same shit.
But yeah. even with what you're saying with the hopping from person to person and the rebound, I think that a lot of women have this space where another person gives value to them.
Yeah, they just don't want to be alone.
They just don't want to be alone. And so I feel like for the women who rebound or constantly find themselves jumping from one guy mm-hmm. to the next, or, you know, emotionally being invested with people, I think as women, we need to find a time to realize what makes us happy and be happy within ourselves, find the value within ourselves, focus on our careers, a hobby, a job. Find happiness within ourselves before we can sit here and hope to get happiness mm-hmm. from another person. Because I will tell you, if you're not happy with yourself, yeah, another motherfucker not going to make you happy. You're not going to be happy
now,
with nobody.
Now, what do you think about, so the women that are rebounding, right? Like, they're obviously, self-worth has a big thing to do with that, right? You, like, feeling alone, so it feels good to mm-hmm. attach. What advice have you given women, or even men? Right, that are just feeling
yeah,
like
because men be going through that shit too, and
absolutely.
That's
and
why
I think
most
we
men
discredit that a lot, and I apologize
hopping.
For not bringing that up. But people that are just because like men may replace it with people replace it with drugs or alcohol mm-hmm. or clubbing.
That's
what's
something
that you would say after a breakup is a good thing to start getting to know yourself better? Like, what's your good breakup advice? That's actually 7 out of like the 20
yeah,
questions
everybody
people
probably
sent.
Wanted that same shit.
What do I do right after?
everybody, I think, needs to first acknowledge that this is kind of like a death in your life, as fucked up as that sounds.
Grieving stage.
So go through the grieving stage first. But I do think it's also important to discover a new part of yourself through this journey, because it's one of those things where part of you and who you were in that relationship, you know, some of that stuff may serve you moving forward, but not all of it. And I think it's important to have an opportunity to get to know yourself and a new side of yourself after this, because it's like everybody's like, oh, well, I just need to get to know somebody new. Okay, so why not get to know the new side of yourself that you don't even know yet?
That's awesome. You know, I like that.
I mean, it may seem corny, but it's one of those things like you can start. Some people it's spirituality, some people it's hobbies, some, you know, some people realize, wow, I've always wanted to actually be a chef, and I didn't even know that. But cooking through my breakup helped me to realize, you know. I'm only 26.
Do you think that you know yourself yet?
I think that I know my 26-year-old self.
Yeah.
I don't think that I know all of who I'm going to be, though. But as somebody who does feel like a very old soul, and has been told so my whole life, including by my parents.
Because you seem very sure of yourself, and like I feel like we're all constantly growing and learning new parts of ourselves. So, like, I'm just curious as to someone like yourself who's very grounded spiritually. Like, can you really say that honestly, or do you feel that?
It's about I know who I am right now. You know what I mean? And that's the way that I look at it. And I tell people, and that's what I tell a lot of my clients is, you know, because they'll say, like, I feel like I don't know myself anymore. And I'm like, well, because you don't. Like, you knew who you were at 19 or 8, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, do you know who you are right now? And some of us don't. But for me, a lot of it is I know who I am at 26 because I've spent so much time by myself. Like, in all honesty, the past 6 years, I was single. Like, I may have been involved with people, but I was not committed to anybody. And other than, like, myself. And it was this thing where I really learned more about myself each time, and it helped me to become more sure and sure of, okay, I really do know who the fuck I am at 26, you know, at 25, whatever. Because each of them was different, and that's also part of why I can always feel like I do know who I am, because I'm always changing, and I'm aware that I'm always changing, and I'm aware that, you know, I'm constantly evolving or growing.
And evolving and growing is good. Like,
you know,
the things that I think that have changed, even with all of us, like, I'm way more patient than I think I was at one point in time, you know, and, like, I get less aggravated, and that helps. But I want to know, for someone that's in a relationship, right, mid-20s, or maybe even late-20s, whatever, how do they make sure that they are still keeping up with, let me try to rephrase this, I have a girlfriend of mine who feels like, in my opinion, from talking to her, like she's losing herself a lot in her relationship, right? She's constantly this couple, they're identified as a two, they're always a duo, and she's like, I don't even know what the fuck I like to do anymore. How do men and women keep their own identity without pushing out their partner?
It's important to remember that anything that y'all do to get to better know yourself is going to enhance your relationship. Like, that's how y'all gotta look at things and start looking at, you know, alone time with things that used to, you know, really be something that you enjoyed. It's okay. Like, you know, for some people, it's about they stopped writing once they got in a relationship. You know what I mean? Sometimes incorporating things like that into your relationship where you're like, yo, like on Sundays, I'm gonna need you to not, like, fuck with me. Just leave me the fuck alone for Sunday afternoon so I can write.
We thirst a lot. Like, Sunday, I like dick, but maybe I need to clean.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, sometimes, you know, switch it up a little bit where you're like, you know what? This Sunday, I need to write today, or I need to do this today. I need to take a bath by myself.
Somewhere, I would say, like, from the advice you're giving, dates with yourself, commitments to yourself.
Yes.
One of my other questions before we get into, like, home mail is, if our energy is so important for mental health, what are the things we can do to make sure we're picking a good partner for, like, one night stands, right? Because, like, I want to call this my slutty summer actively hoe season time, but, you know, I'm also in something open, so I don't want to lose sight of that. But I'm also kind of confused, how do I not get drained from other people? How do I make sure I'm picking the right dude to fuck just for the night?
It's important to not just go off looks. I know that that may seem counterproductive because, you know, you're kind of like, well, I'm just trying to fuck. Why does it matter if, you know, I know anything about your personality or any of that shit?
Okay.
But if you don't know, it's one of those things where, like, all right, I do tell people to avoid somebody who's overly cocky because a lot of the time they are hiding other stuff under the surface that you may pick up. And it's not about necessarily they hiding on a whole fucking, you know, crazy ass thing, but it can just be insecurities, shame, stuff like that, that can come up in sex. Mm. I've had times, you know, and it's things like that where I say watch their behavior, because the reality is you may not be able to have this whole, you know, 6 months of, okay, now I decide I want to have this one night stand with you. It's been 6 months getting to know you. Great. I already know who you are. We can
I'm trying to fuck tonight.
Yeah. So it's important to pay attention to the conversation y'all do have, how they speak about things, as far as, you know, if they show signs of being, like I said, overly cocky, you know, or they have a general disregard for other people's well-being, things like that, like they're a dick to the server, you know what I'm saying, like, or the bartender or something, even if the person, because at times, listen, I get if people are being a dick, but if you see that even when that's the situation, they're kind of like, okay, like, it's not that serious or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that's more of a, you're probably more likely to be, you know, dealing with somebody who's not going to leave you with residual shit like shame and things like that. Because, you know, one night stands, it's not always that you're going to pick up, you know, a whole relationship's worth of, you know, negative energy. But you still can pick up a lot of that shame and shit. Because even people who are having one night stands, sometimes even those same men who may have them all the time may have them, but also have a lot of underlying shame related to it and feeling like this is what they have to do to get a woman to show them any kind of affection. And so then they're draining your ass for all the affection that you can give them.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure we've, like, all met a man that's talking about, like, I'm tired of fucking all these hoes.
And that's what I'm saying. Listen to what they talk about. Pay attention. Try to be mindful, you know, as far as if it's your one night stand. Like, just because... you got to be a little careful with that, you know, and not everybody is the same, obviously.
Right.
But, you know, that those are some filters that you can add in to figure out, like, okay, is this somebody who one night stand wise, you're not going to drain me energetically?
Yeah.
Because I can't lie, we have all had sex with one of those guys or one of those people who was all like, oh, I'm tired of these hoes. Bitches is crazy. Everybody crazy. Everybody crazy but you. So I'm gonna have to start to wonder why is everybody like, and especially if we just met, that's my other shit, you know. And that's why I tell people, if y'all just met and this is really one of those one night stand situations where, like, y'all meet at a spot and end up going back with each other, you need to pay attention to the conversation,
right
because that will give you red flags right away. You know, there's times I've had homegirls tell me, they're like, he was being such a dick, but then he was so nice to me, you know. And they're like, I don't understand why he, you know, was then like that. I was like, cause girl, he showed you he was a dick. I was like, he was
some
like,
people
oh,
are attracted
nice
to that because
public.
They feel like the special one.
And then it's like, oh, but he was nice to me in public. I said, yes, but, you know, that's because his shadow shit that he ain't really want to address, he had to check it real quick so you'd come home with him. Like, that's why.
I actually, the reason I was really curious about this question in particular is because I'm so emotional, I feel like I can't go on dates while in an open relationship.
Yeah,
I feel like I can only
like
just make
cheating.
It sex.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's a weird guilt.
It's an intimacy
even though it's
aspect.
Encouraged, it's like, hey, do your thing, enjoy this, like, blah, blah, blah. I feel like I can only fuck. So now I've been going out like crazy. Just like, I want to get this over with. I want to really make my relationship open. And I can't do it. I pick something on them and it's just like, I get too emo. I'd be like, they don't care about me. No. And I emo shame myself. No. My whole shame myself.
I feel you. A lot of us do that.
We have home mail that we get every week. So I want to answer some of the questions for us and then some of them directed towards you. This one is from, can we say your name? Oh, no. Keep me anonymous, please. Dear Mandy and Wheezy, this email is in two parts. One is recognition and the other is actual home mail. I'll make sure to post this on iTunes. I've been a listener since April. My boyfriend put me on. I've been binge listening. I'm on episode 60. Love what you two are doing and how comfortable you are making people feel about themselves and sex. I'll be honest, I was a little judgmental about certain things, and your podcast has taught me to be open-minded and accepting of everyone and everything. Just because I don't agree doesn't mean I have to judge. Thank you for that. Actual home mail. I've been in a long-term relationship for more than 5 years, and it seems like our sex life gets better and better. He's the first man to make me reach an orgasm. I always experience the big O when he goes down on me. I lose my mind, my body quivers, my soul leaves my body, and it's the most amazing feeling. However, I feel like I can't handle it for too long, and I tell him to stop or I'm going to pass out. My question is that normal? First of all, I hate this hoe.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to
laugh.
I didn't mean to laugh.
Oh my God, this feels so great.
This is the worst problem.
Break for too long? What is
nah,
dude?
But,
I hate her. Wait, okay. However, has this happened Is this to you? Is this normal? Is this what it's supposed to feel like? Is there more? He feels like if I don't tell him
bitch,
to stop.
Is there more?
Like, is there more? Bitch, you,
you got the more that bitch is
you got
back
the
and
orgasm
for,
like, that no one can fucking get. And
you
like, just
do you
like,
want to die? Like,
he feels like if I don't tell him to stop, then I'll squirt. But I really feel like I'll pass out. Can
oh,
you describe
no,
how it is for you?
No, you gotta squirt. You just, but, no, she said she feels like she's
gonna
squirt.
But Mandy squirts, and I want to know if you have, because I never have. Do y'all feel that pass out feeling?
No, no, no. So. When well, I well, yeah, you do.
Your body,
your
like,
body does just.
Yeah.
So I've almost cried. Like my eyes
limp.
Get watery. You definitely
like, I go dry cryphilia,
no,
duckrophilia.
Like so,
it?
I fucking no. I've definitely like my eyes have gotten watering because it's so much pressure. But when you squirt, it also has to be a sense where you will feel like you have to pass out if you're not comfortable. So you have to allow yourself to be in the sense where you can release. You have to. So even her partner may need to be like. Relax
okay.
for me. It's okay. He may have to give her that affirmation.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. What's about to
this
happen?
Is good.
This is good. Yes. I won't think it's nasty because it may be she's keeping herself from doing the squirting.
Yeah.
And if you
that's
if you're not comfortable
like
and try to squirt and you can't squirt, it
can
be
painful.
It can't,
also,
no, it can't. Because
like your body wants.
So,
that's
yeah,
the only reason why
I
also felt bad just now because I'm like, oh girl, maybe you're going through the painful part.
The
because
I thought I had
let
to pee when I felt that.
Yeah,
too high. Is that what it is? Or like it's hitting a. Because I've felt like I was about to squirt, but I was like, oh, this isn't feeling enjoyable anymore.
No, no, no. It'll
like,
feel
it felt
good. But
like
there's
your bladder,
like that weird moment
because
your bladder is
it's your bladder
like,
or whatever that is because we ain't no doctors, but I think it's the bladder. But if you don't allow it, imagine you almost feel like, you know, like when you get kind of like a UTI and you feel like you have to pee, but you can't pee. You get that pressure
that's
while you're squirting
like.
If you don't release it.
Yeah.
But. You're you psychologically, you don't feel like you want to release because you don't know what's going to come out.
I honestly
so, yeah.
felt like
you think
I just want to pee.
Because you think
so,
you're going to pee.
So there's that thing in the back of your mind instinctually. It's kind of like, no, don't piss. Like, don't piss on you.
Maybe I should try this
that's
again.
That's exactly what it is.
Because now I'll be fucking with nasty motherfuckers.
If you deal with nasty niggas, oh yeah, because he would say if it's pee, it's pee. Just shoot it out. The, from the guy that allowed
no,
me to piss
you.
On him. He's also the one that made me squirt. And so I was so comfortable
yeah,
with squirting
no
because I knew
like,
whatever.
As much as you got, can I drink
whatever.
It?
No matter what it is.
It don't matter what it is. Shoot it the fuck out. I want to see it. And so I feel like maybe she's at the space where she's so not comfortable with that that aspect of what may come out that it's hurting her. Because, yeah, it will. It'll feel like
it
a fucking
hurt.
UTI.
Like,
so basically, y'all are giving the advice for her to just relax
just
and release.
Yeah, because
absolutely.
She's basically giving herself like blue walls.
Or
like
blue
walls. Vulva. I think
oh,
it's
that's
blue
my new
vulva.
I love
what they
the
call
blue
it. Walls. I don't know.
Can that be the title of the episode?
Blue walls. Yo, that was good. That was some
but
good
that's
shit.
What it is, though. Like, and that's not nah, because that's the way that guys have like described. I'm like, but that's what it feels
that's
like.
Exactly
but
what it feels
like inside. Not even something. It's worse because it's like near your bladder.
I'll be honest with y'all. I haven't squirted. Yeah, and I'm not feeling like I want to now. Like,
no, but it feels you just have to relax.
You have
it's
to
all,
relax.
And I said this even when I was at 8 at the table. Like, sex is more mental than we all like to think. And so if she's just, for whatever reason, subconscious about what may come out, it's probably her own self not allowing her to experience that. And it can
well, orgasms definitely have to do with a mental block.
Yeah.
I think he should coach her through it, though. Because
yeah, he should be more
if he's
affirming.
Been somebody that she's been comfortable enough.
If he that good in bed, that nigga know what to do.
No,
so bitch, he can coach you.
Her first orgasm and all this other shit, then
oh,
he
right.
should be somebody, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's something I think they should remind
damn, bitch,
each,
how old
like,
you are?
Each
is
other
dick that
of.
Good?
Like,
yeah.
You know that, like, yo, sure. listen, I'm the first one who helped you have an orgasm. Like, we've been together for this long and everything just keeps getting mm-hmm. better. Like, obviously, this is the next step in our sexual relationship. You know, it's
agreed.
One of the things, like, it's going to be okay. Like, it's not gonna has anything gone bad like cause I'm sorry but according to that email it seems like not a damn
nothing
thing
well, I honestly was reading it and I felt like
years?
She was taunting us
I
a little
really
bit
no,
I
just like,
this is coming so much like, is this
what
normal
is this normal
again?
To come this much
fuck
like
you
bitch?
I should have said your name bitch
yo nah you know what I realized this is like Samantha in Sex in the City.
Yes.
Where she would say just every episode where everyone's looking at her like, bitch, what you
this
mean?
This is the problem.
Like,
what are you complaining about? You getting all the young good dick.
Yes, and she's
and
like,
I'm
but I'm tired of it being the same dick. And they're like, but he's like 30 years younger
you know,
than you.
You know, there's a scene
like,
in that
he's
movie.
A
she's
a
like,
bottle.
You're tired. You know,
yes.
now we're going to only have sex 3 or 5 times a week.
Yes, and everyone looks at her like,
hey, bitch, really?
Bitch, at least you get it 3 or 5
right.
times a week. Like,
right.
and fucking
this
sharp,
question
and it's like,
is for
week.
Mandy, and I really like it.
Uh-oh.
It's called...
Something I ain't read. I ain't
you
know
did.
Did I read it?
The sender is from quote unquote Fat Ho. Hi, Mandy. I'm a new listener and I love the podcast so far. This is obviously an anonymous email, but I'm attaching pictures for reference. I've always felt like I was alone in my freak nasty bitch behavior. I was listening to the episode with Sante from the Friend Zone and I heard that a comment that Mandy doesn't ride dick.
Show don't.
I have always had issues with my body and self-esteem issues being bigger and dark skin. And I've always tried to compensate by giving amazing head and fire pussy. But
yep,
because of that,
what I do.
I've felt never felt comfortable riding dick, especially standard cowgirl reverse, those white ass position names. But it's the best way I can describe it. Mandy, if you're comfortable, can you explain why you don't ride dick? Refer me to the episode you discussed it. I haven't made it that far back, but I feel like the guys I fuck with always feel a type of way like I'm some fat, lazy hoe. How
That's
do you
fine.
Have the conversation
so well.
That you're not willing to do it with your partner? How do you get over insecurities? By the way, I want to show you her. This girl is so
She's
lit.
She's not even like...
And bitch, you look good as
thick.
Fuck.
She's not even fat. Talk about fuck. I'm a fat hoe.
Nah, that's thick.
I mean, but okay, so here's the thing. And I think that it's something that I'm just grateful for. So as y'all know, so 24/7, we've had the talk because it was brought up that I didn't ride and I realized I don't ride his dick. And so we talked about it. He doesn't like being rode. So it's like a match made in fucking heaven.
He doesn't like being rode.
He don't
Damn.
Like being rode. Like he likes being in control.
I think that's because nobody good ever did it though. Because we're just generally women cannot.
No, but I love the fuck out. When it comes to me riding dick, For a long time, I was in the 200 plus club. And so it was just a lot of work and I didn't feel much from it. So I was just like, I'm not going to do nothing that I don't really come off from. And so many women are like, really? I come the best when I ride. And to me, it's just like, it don't get me to fuck off. Like I'm so
from
much
the back
better
riding.
In from the back or missionaries. Yes, like I like the slow, be slow on me on the top and then rough from the back. And so riding, because it just wasn't something I did. Oh, I had one nigga. He came for me.
I'm trying to think right now. I'm like, what do I?
He wanted me to ride, and I rolled over
favorite?
And said, no, I don't do that.
No, I
don't do that. You don't? Do you really ride?
Riding is not my favorite.
And what's crazy is, and y'all, she's half a wheezy, so it ain't got shit to do with size. You're small.
It's just about. It's not the like. It's not the same.
No,
like,
it's just not.
It's not the same.
I don't even like it. My legs get tired.
You know
what?
I'm surprised that you don't like it.
Oh,
because the only thing I get off about it sometimes is the dominant part because I'm such a sub. I'm like, oh, when I put my hands on their neck.
And dominant, my nigga. I throw my ass back. So even from the back, I feel like
I am a power
running
bottom.
Shit. I am a power bottom, bitch. So the fuck. Even when I'm from the, when he's on top of me, I lock my legs around him. So I feel like, again, I'm in control. Like you, like in every position that I'm in.
My leg lock like, better not be as strong as the thrust that you got going
I
on.
I mean, but, you know, so to me, for, I guess, the bigger women who do have this issue, I will say that there was a point in time where it was related to my size. Like, I felt like a bitch got out of breath in 20 seconds and I was going to be judged like a fat hoe that I was because I don't work out. Like, so damn, you can't do this type. And you know, it's still like... It said to me after, like, the nigga will be sweating and I won't. And he'll be like, damn, all this work I put in. I'll be like, thanks.
Pussy good, though.
Right. But I will say I'm like her. I feel like I do overcompensate with head because I'm not into all the tricks of riding and all that stuff. So I'll spend 20 minutes sucking dick, like, licking balls, licking ass. I'll do
the
whole
nine.
I suck good
dick because I'm not getting up there.
Yeah. I'm just not riding your dick. So I'll suck it forever. So, yeah, I guess for, again, for any of the bigger women, maybe find other things that you're good in and want him to want you to do that. More than, you know, not
honestly
not right
though
off.
Throwing it back, like I've had people tell me that like no one has
bitches
ever done
don't
that.
Do that yeah. No,
and I want to say like that is something that I feel like can take over riding
because
you can be trash at riding dick, and apparently from what I've heard from men
a lot of
women
are.
I think Lamazon Taomi has a good video on YouTube that everybody really likes where she demonstrates that if you are up for it. The last few questions are kind of quick ones that I just had on the Instagram thread about for you. From Abria Denise, I don't know how to say your name, sorry. Best advice through healing for depression. Just something comes to mind.
You have to not get caught up in what works for everybody else and start with looking at what has worked for you in the past and start to build off of that rather than building off of, okay, but these are all the things that haven't worked for me and all that other shit. Because we tend to focus on that when you're depressed, especially because, you know, cyclical shit. Like, you have cyclical thoughts and... you know, it can be hard where you're just like, okay, but these are all the things that have never fucking worked for me. Nothing's ever fucking worked for me. Instead of focusing on, okay, you know what? Taking a walk helped me with being able to collect myself and calm my physical symptoms. Or, you know, seeing somebody once a week was able to help me with feeling like I had somebody who was supportive and understood me and things like that.
The person you see, was that like spiritual advisor?
Depends on it, whichever, you know, therapy, spiritual advisor, etc. Yeah. You know, like somebody I go meet with once a week, or, you know, somebody who finds that going to a group, you know,
is good. I think sense
of
community is a big deal. Exactly. And I want to chime in with something that really helped. It's a little weird, but I committed a lot of time to helping friends through things because it made me feel better. Mm-hmm. Made me feel a little more accomplished, so to speak. And it gave me that, like, you know, it takes you over that depression. And volunteering myself, like, whatever I could do. I was buying a lot of, like, my Instagram followers during Christmas gifts for their kids. Mm-hmm. I felt so much better. Like, it was better than buying any amount of shoes or whatever I could have done, just because I was like, damn, I feel so shitty right now. These people are sending me fucking pictures of their kids with fucking toys and shit. Like, it made me feel better. Like, doing something for someone else when you're depressed works. And you think it's all about you, right? You're like, oh my God, I'm sad. Pity party for me. But it honestly really helps you feel more valuable.
Exactly. So I have a sense of community.
For the black hippie realness, I love this question. Best spiritual practices for the bedroom before and post intercourse etiquette?
Let's see.
She just sucked dick.
Well,
bro.
One thing is, you should definitely, I think one of the best things to go in is to say some positive affirmations to yourself, by yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Could you give us some examples? Like, yes, I sucked it good.
Those are good. Like, yeah, like where you just like, I got that bomb ass pussy. Like, but stuff where you just like, okay, I'm about to go put that bomb ass pussy on them. Like, stuff like that. Because I feel like a lot of us also have a lot of, like, a lack of confidence when it comes to that, where we kind of feel like it's more like a job rather than something that is, like, you know, it's a job that you want to go be good at rather than something you want to go enjoy. You feel me? So as if you lead with this whole idea of, it's going to be bomb as fuck. What's this job? I'm just going to enjoy my damn self. I'm going to put this bomb pussy on him.
Do you have any affirmations, not like for sex, but like that you use for yourself, whether daily, that's one of your favorites or something?
I switch it up so much because I'm a Sag. I'm horrible with consistency, and I admit that. My consistency is inconsistency. One of my other things is, if you are using crystal toys, please make sure that you have cleansed them properly.
I was just going to ask you. That was my question.
I saw your video.
What are the best
crystals?
Well, my favorite, it all depends on what your personal needs are, like, you know, what you want to use it for. Like, each crystal does have its own, you know, specific vibration kind of thing. But my favorite company is owned by a woman at that, so, you know, it's popping. It's called Chakrubs.
Chakrubs, that's so cute.
That is
She's got so much shit for both, like, men, women, everybody. Like, doesn't matter what you identify with, she got something for you.
Okay.
And it's a lot of, I think it's important to also, you know, like I said, make sure they cleanse properly. This does not just include Palo Santo
now,
and saging.
Are people putting
you gotta
crystals
actually wash
inside
the
of themselves?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I got a couple crystal dildos.
It looked like a dildo made of rose quartz.
Yeah, that one's the best one, because as far as self-love and stuff like that, especially if you're a very, like, sensitive person or you're somebody who is involved a lot with, you know, other people, it's good because it can help recharge.
She was basically like, you sound like a hoe, so get this.
Nah, it's just something about, like, if you just, and I mean, like, literally just involved. It doesn't mean fucking involved. I mean, like, you could just be around people all the fucking time and be that person who constantly gives love, even in a non-sexual way. A yoni egg or, you know, a crystal wand dildo, either one of those is good, especially a rose quartz one, to recharge and replenish your self-love and all that. Because while we're out here, even just being giving people, you know, to our friends and shit, it can tap us out. And sometimes the best way to help boost that is to give ourselves that act of self-love, you know what I'm saying, where you're having a moment with yourself or with your partner if you want.
So I just shouldn't stick a rose quartz of my pussy. I should get, like...
You should get an actual one that was made specifically for that purpose, because otherwise...
I might kill myself.
You might, like, scratch your coochie up.
Yeah.
Like, these things are made...
Well, I'm only
asking
because,
you know,
people,
they're formed so that they don't fuck
rubs,
up your body.
Right? But I know a lot of people are talking about this and it's something popular, so I don't want somebody to just go in the store and just be like...
No. You need to get a specific one, like, where you go and you get... They'll say that what it's for, because you want to make sure that you get one that has been properly constructed and formed to go into the body.
Bitch, you got a promo code? I'm about to buy one.
I need to get a promo code because I love that shit. No, but seriously, her site is lit. And like I said, it's owned by a woman. And she has something for everybody, regardless of what your gender identity is. And she also has a book out about connecting with yourself, you know, spiritually and in a sexual manner. Like the connection between the two for if you want to better understand it all. Like, so that's what I also like about her stuff. Like, her shit is in the Museum of Sex. Like, she,
I love most of that.
Like,
yeah,
she's, you know, she's really dope. But, you know, like I said, I'm big on, everybody thinks you're just supposed to, like, you know, energetically cleanse your crystals. But if you're putting them inside of you, please make sure that you actually wash them with warm water, please. Because you don't need to keep putting the crust from the last time. Like, that needs to come off. That's disgusting. Facts. Like, you know, because it's the reality. Like, if you did, you know, enjoy it, I'm pretty damn sure there's going to be some.
By the way, sex toy cleaner is a thing, y'all. I had some friends over yesterday, and, like, we were talking about my, like, sex bag, and they were all putting their hand in it, and they're like, you clean this? I'm like, what you think?
I'm going to have to clean it again, because y'all put your hands on it.
Right. Like, put all the germs. I'm not putting that in
y'all just now. Put mad germs back on it from who knows where.
Right. Like, I got in at, like, 6 a.m. last night, maybe 5, 6, I don't know, and I really wanted to masturbate, and my drunk ass, I was so proud of myself, went and washed my hands. Just before I put them right up in the pussy.
Yo, you the real MVP to your pussy right. for that one. Because drunken moments, that can be hard. You did not want that UTI, though. So shout out to you.
Shout out to the calves, swiping, touching dirt.
That's what I'm saying. Like, shout out to you.
I think that was some random guy. I don't know what he got.
Nah, but that was always my thing. When I came home fucked up and I wasn't with anybody, I always washed my hands because I was always that person who I may have forgot to wash my face, but I made sure.
Bro,
I washed
and the
my
nails,
hands.
All of that. I don't even want to like
because that was the only thing putting me to sleep. After I was like, well, I ain't going home with nobody, so I'm just gonna have to, you know,
fuck myself with this rose quartz.
Trust
there you
me.
Have it. There you have it.
Thank you so much for coming. Yeah,
let our listeners know where they can find you. And yeah, just all of that good stuff.
You can find me on Instagram at etherreal.one or etherreal1. You can also go on my website, thespiritualmommy.com.
And all of this will be put into the description of the bio. Before we get out of here, guys, we did want to let you guys know that we want to give a huge shout out, first off, to our patrons. For our Patreon, guys, we are now dropping 2 bonus episodes per month. So if our weekly episodes are not enough for you, for just $5 a month, you can not only support the show, but you get 2 extra bonus episodes, and you can actually go on there as well and listen and see the video for the live show that we had in Atlanta. We are dropping the one that just happened in New York for our August patrons. So if you want to become part of the Whore Hive and help support Horrible Decisions and growing and producing more content for you guys, your every dollar counts, and we definitely want to show our appreciation
to
you guys.
Can I keep it a stack? A lot of y'all are messy as fuck, and me and Mandy have episodes that we were like not proud of because we couldn't get it right, and we post those to Patreon.
Yeah, like,
and
y'all literally get everything.
Yeah, like, I have told things about myself on Patreon that I will not admit on air, and I don't know why, and I just feel like if someone is paying to support me, like, they fuck with me, and they be leaving comments like, y'all bitches are tripping, and we gotta listen because y'all pay.
Yeah, no, and so it's super dope just the feedback we get. We also talk to a lot of our patrons with what they want to hear us talk about. Yeah. They ask us a lot of questions on behind the scenes and helping with even dissect maybe new segments we want to introduce into the show and things that we haven't even realized we haven't talked about.
Patrons ask for Amelia. By the way, if we do not currently have merch for sale, but if you are a patron at a certain tier, we do send you merch. So check that out as well. It's patreon, patreon.com/horrible decisions. You can Google Horrible Decisions Patreon and support the show.
Yeah, and also for everyone who's asking, if you just go to patreon.com/horrible decisions, there is a public post for everyone who's been asking for the book that I mentioned in the Swinger episode. There is a free PDF upload on the Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/horrible decisions for that book that all of you keep DM me and tweeting me about that you want to read, the book that I posted.
published three. Yeah, well, it's my book.
I know. Tell me what the book is.
So it's my book. It's called Up on Game. I pretty much dropped the flyout rules. There's about 8 stories of women who dealt with athletes. And I do kind of like a how-to guide on becoming an athlete, girlfriend, hoe, wife. There's just kind of
if episode 700 was not enough for you, check out this PDF because it's Mo Ways to Hoe.
It's just Mo Ways to Hoe. But I want to get, again, shout out to all of our patrons. Shout out to all of our listeners. And real quick, because we haven't done it yet, thank you, YouTube motherfuckers. Y'all are some real mean-ass motherfuckers. And I'm going to tell y'all that now because we get all y'all comments. Oh, YouTube is harsh. We get really, like, crazy, like, shit from, like, our listeners in our email, our comments on Instagram, but they're
YouTube
hardcore.
Is ruthless.
YouTube is ruthless.
Dynamic IP addresses that change all of the time because y'all niggas ain't scared.
They're not scared.
And I low-key was about to send wax on some of y'all niggas. I'm like, find him!
But no, thank you for all of you who tune in and watch us. And again, we appreciate you guys for the support and tuning in. And we hope that you guys enjoy the videos that we're dropping y'all. Thank you so very much. Thank you for tuning in. Shout out. This has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions.
Bye.
Bye.